Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on Edgewise today is Elizabeth Herron. She's an author and project manager. She lives and works in London. She's had a decade of project management experience and has led a variety of information technology and process improvement projects, including e-commerce and communication development. She's author of the new book, Social Media for Project Managers. Elizabeth, welcome to AMA Edgewise.
Thank you very much.
So, Elizabeth, why would somebody need social media as a new way of working with projects?
We've got good project management standards, and they've been honed over the years, and we've now got a body of work that represents best practice. But what we can't do is rely on doing the same thing that we've always done to deliver successful projects, because while we have been making small developments, incremental improvements in the way we manage projects, the business world has been changing much more rapidly around us. And we need to make sure that our tools and techniques are able to cope with the fact that the rest of the business world hasn't stayed still. So we're using the same old methods with a tweak here and there, but our colleagues, people we're working with, and the economic and business environment has massively moved on.
There's also a lot more virtual communication where social media can come in very handy, don't you think?
Absolutely. Technology is one of the things that has prompted us to look again at the way that we work on teams and manage projects, because we've got new business models that allow us to do outsourcing and offshoring, and more companies are adopting that. And because we've got team members who are working in different time zones or working even in different countries, the ability to communicate with a virtual team is critical. And that is something that we will see more of in the future.
Elizabeth, how has the project management field responded to this opportunity with social media?
I don't think we have done a particularly good job of keeping up with the way in which the business world has evolved and meeting some of the challenges of outsourcing, offshoring, new technologies. In a 2009 report about why projects fail, we saw that 44% of projects are considered to be challenged. They're over budget, they're late. We're still seeing these kind of errors and mistakes, even though we've been managing projects for years and years. And in terms of adapting our tools and techniques to respond to a new environment where social media is part of the way in which people communicate these days, I don't think we have done a great deal of innovation in the project management field up until quite recently. I think our last biggest innovation was probably in the 1960s with John Fondal and critical precedence diagramming method, which is a technical way of making sure that you can plot the critical path of the project in a very simplistic explanation. That's massively influential, great work, but it's a bit of a shame that we haven't got any other massive leaps in innovation in the project management field since then.
What are some of the social media that you would recommend for project managers as a start?
Social media in a business environment is about collaboration and communication with purpose. The belief that the internet is a space that can foster interaction and conversation came first, and then the technology, the development of tools, followed to meet the needs of people who are using the internet. So if you look back over what the internet was like 10 years ago, it was very static. Lots of web pages were flat. You couldn't do anything interactive. And now social media as a different way of using the internet, it's much more personal. It provides a platform for interactions between people and helps promote conversations. So in a business environment, using social media tools is about making sure that people have technology to collaborate and communicate, providing a different method of talking and working together. Some of the tools that you could use to help with projects are things like a blog. You can have that in your company just specifically for your employees. The chief executive could use it, for example, to let people know what was going on. And in a project environment, you could record a log of what's happening on your project on a day-to-day basis. Wikis are another good tool to use in projects. Things like Wikipedia, which is a wiki available for everybody to update. So in a project environment, you could use that kind of web page where everybody can contribute and give their ideas for capturing lessons learned. When things go well on projects, when things don't go so well, people could record all of that in the wiki. And then when you start a new project, you can search on your key terms and up will pop examples of where things have not gone so well in the past, and you can learn from those mistakes.
In the book, you talk about instant messaging and the value of social networks and webinars. I could see instant messaging being a terrific benefit in a project.
Yes, definitely. A very quick text message on the screen to a colleague is something more teams should use. I also like the fact that you can see who's at their desk, because if you're emailing or if you're calling someone, you don't always know if they're available. But with a tool like instant messaging, you can see whether the person is online. Admittedly, they might have popped away from their computer, but chances are they'll be back very shortly and they can respond to you. And in fact, that's a tool I've seen in use on project teams. It's good when you're in a meeting and you've got a quick question. It helps get things moving and doesn't hold up the discussion.
And what about LinkedIn, since it enables you to network in a professional manner?
Yes, LinkedIn is a great tool. If you've got a big organization, you might have an internal social network. That works if you've got thousands of employees and you want to tap into the knowledge base that's out there already in your company. But if you're a small organization or you've already tried that and it hasn't worked, something online like LinkedIn gives you access to a huge group of people. And the great thing about people who operate online is that everybody is helpful. If you ask a question on a forum like LinkedIn in the Q&A, you'll get an answer. And normally it will be a very high quality answer from somebody who knows what they're talking about. So it's a great resource professionally.
Right. And another one that we're very familiar with here is the webinar.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a learning opportunity without leaving your desk.
Yes, that's good for professional development. You can also record webinars relating to the topic of your project. So if you're rolling out new software across the company or you're launching some new product, you could record a webinar or a podcast even and make that available to everybody on the company intranet and use that as a support for the training and the change that's happening as a result of launching your new software. So it's good to use the internet externally to learn things and to find out what's going on in the world, but also it's a tool that you can adopt and use internally as well.
Right. Is there some advice that you could give about blending social media and non-technical communication?
The purpose of all this new technology is to make your project more effective. If you can find a way to be collaborative and deliver your project efficiently, and technology isn't going to help, don't use it. Don't add social media tools or any type of technology into the mix just for the sake of it, because it's trendy, because everyone else is doing it. Do it because you think it's going to add some value. But in terms of blending social media with non-technical tools, it's tricky because you're actually adding in more work for the project managers, because you're communicating to stakeholders via a social media outlet and also to stakeholders who aren't interested in receiving information that way through whatever route you used to use. But we should always choose our communication methods to fit the needs of our stakeholders. So in that respect, social media is just something new in the mix.
How do you determine the team communication preferences? How team members feel about social media?
The easiest way to find out the communication preferences of your team members is to sit down and ask them. Now, you might find when you ask people that they are actively using Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, and you might think there's someone who really understands about social media and the value of sharing. But actually, somebody who has used those sort of tools might need you to help them set some boundaries for what's appropriate to share in a workplace setting, because the kind of things that you might post to your friends on Facebook are not the kind of things that you'd want to be sharing in a project environment where you're trying to get a job done. So somebody might have a lot of experience in using social media tools, but they might need guidance about how you expect them to use those tools in the workplace. But different people work in different ways, and there's only a certain amount of convincing people to work in a certain way that we can do. Our role as project managers is to make it as easy as possible for everybody else to work with us. Because if we're putting up barriers, we're going to find it harder and harder to get people to do what they need to do on a project team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is the way to move people faster along the learning path classroom instruction on social media or individuals buddying together?
Buddying people together is better. I expect there are courses available for classroom training, and that might be a way to target larger groups of people. But the tools tend to feel quite personal, and learning them with somebody sitting alongside you is probably more effective. Part of training about social media is to just encourage good communication practice and openness in the widest sense possible. Because if you've got a culture in your organisation where people don't share information, they don't talk to each other, and knowledge is power, then providing a tool where you're encouraging people to share things is countercultural.
So how do you address that?
It's partly an investigation into what are the communication styles of each individual member of your team to try and see how interested they are in learning about something new. And also culturally in your organisation, is it something that fits with what you're trying to do? It's interesting that you mentioned buddying, because that's a good way to try and increase the take-up. You can get the most interested, most technically literate person in your team to be a champion for whatever tool you're trying to introduce.
And I would also think that it helps to build the teamwork for a successful project.
Yes, the more people talk to each other, the more people work together with a common objective, the easier it will be for them to work together on the project objectives.
What happens in the case where you've introduced the idea of social media to the group and reception among some members is poor?
Even with the best, well thought out, thorough deployment plan, it's still possible that some people won't want to work with the social media tool. But on many projects, you'll need a particular person for their expertise, whether they happen to like the tools you've chosen for the team to use or not. And poor take-up of a tool, any tool, not necessarily social media, but any type of project management software, can be the death knell for the project if you can't collaborate effectively with your entire team because some of your team aren't connected online.
And consequently, the project might fail?
Exactly. There are some things to do, though. First, you should look at whether people are trying to not share information because the culture of the organisation doesn't support it. It could also be that people don't believe that management are committed to working in this new way. Therefore, there's no point in investing any time in doing that. Warwick Business School did some research as to why people don't contribute to the use of new technology in a company. They can be quite cynical about the value that social media tools can provide in the organisation. It's tiresome to continue generating discussion about new ideas. There's no reward for sharing information. Having more information leads to conflicting data.
So what would you advise regarding this?
Once you understand what's driving these people's reluctance to contribute, you can start to address the individual concerns. You might find three or four people choose not to participate, but for different reasons. One person, because they don't want to admit that they don't understand how computers work, and that's a very easy thing to fix. Or there might be somebody who genuinely believes that sharing information makes him or her less powerful in the organization, and that's a much harder problem to tackle.
Right. Now, is there a way to provide some assessment of the level of success when you introduce social media to the group?
Yes, there are ways that you can measure success. The great thing about online tools is they have massive amounts of audit capabilities. So you can look at how many people are visiting the particular workspace, what they're looking at, what they're downloading, how long they're spending on the site, who subscribed to get updates, how often people are coming back. All those are statistical measures, but you could also get some general morale type feedback. Do people feel that they're working more easily together? Do they feel that they're getting tasks done in a more timely manner? So you can do quantitative and qualitative assessment if you work out what's important to you to measure. But Watson Wyatt did some research last year and found that only 16% of companies have some tools in place to measure the effectiveness of their social media initiatives. So lots of companies are choosing not to take the time to measure the success in any technical sense. They're working on a gut feel. And we don't measure the success of email. We don't measure the success of conference calls, video conferencing, or face-to-face meetings. So if they're introducing another communication tool, I can understand why companies think it's not necessary to measure the success of that. But if you want to measure success, you certainly can. And then you can take those measures and feed them back to the team and say, we've done a staff survey and you feel that you're working 10% more effectively now than you used to.
Elizabeth, just to wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes, definitely. We need to make sure that our tools and techniques are able to respond to a new environment where social media is part of the way in which people communicate. And hopefully, once people have started to work in that way, it will become just the way we do things around here. The end goal is to have these tools embedded in an organization so that they're just like email.
We've been speaking to Elizabeth Herron, author of the new book, Social Media for Project Managers. Elizabeth, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Do you understand the complexities of the coming GAAP to IFRS changeover? AMA's new seminar explores these new guidelines by examining actual financial statements prepared in accordance with IFRS and comparing the principal differences between them and United States GAAP. By taking this seminar, you will not only become familiar with IFRS, but you will be significantly ahead of the pack when the changeover occurs. For more information, visit amanets.org and type 1238 into the search box. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.